Hi, everybody. Welcome to the 100 Pounders meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Today is Wednesday, the 6th of March, and I am delighted to welcome today Denise Orr. Denise hails from Chicago, as far as I'm aware, and she is going to tell you her story and share when she first came into OA. And Denise, you have up to 30 minutes. Just let us know how you want your time.
Great. That's great. Thanks so much, Rita, for inviting me. Time would be like a 5-minute warning and then maybe a 1-minute more warning. Thank you so much. Boy, oh boy, I'm so grateful to be here. Denise R., recovered compulsive overeater here in Chicago. I'm just going to start with a quick prayer. God, please help me set aside everything I think I know about myself, this qualification, the big book, you. Just please show me, God, how to help other people with my story today. You're well enough for me. Thank you. Amen. So thanks so much for inviting me, Rita. Grateful to be here. Denise R. again in Chicago, maintaining about 105, between 105, 110 pound weight loss here. Just will start as a child. I was very active. My mom put me in, my parents put me in a lot of sports. My mom, really insisted I was a dancer, a cheerleader, a gymnast, all those, girly things that that moms like their daughters to do, I suppose. So I was, active as a child. Even though I was compulsively overeating, I maintained, somewhat of a normal body weight. So my weight really didn't show much. But I was definitely eating compulsively. After school snacks consisted of sugary cereals, those cardboard boxes of ice cream. They were like square boxes of ice cream. I'd eat that. I'd just switch off with all different kinds of snacks and I wouldn't stop. When I got into high school, I was a cheerleader, like I mentioned, all my life. And when I got into high school, they had a co-ed team, where it was boys lifting the girls, doing these tricks and stuff. It's real popular today, but back when I was in high school, it wasn't, it was kind of fairly new. And all the senior boys were graduating. I had made the team when I was a junior, and I was one of two juniors that made the squad. And then my senior year, which was my last hurrah, I've been a cheerleader all my life. My senior year, there were all these new boys that were doing the lifting, and none of them really had a lot of experience and skills in learning the tricks and stuff. And so I wasn't obese or anything. I wasn't overweight. If you looked at me, I was a muscular, I'm very short, but I was definitely, athletic, muscular, gymnast type body. None of the boys could lift me. And I didn't make the squad. And that was the first time where my weight had affected my life. I always got away with it before, but this time I didn't get away with it. And I was devastated. I was crushed. So that was my first experience where my weight was a problem. After high school, into college, all that, I worked many jobs, and one of them was a daycare. And at the daycare, I always, raised my hand, said, I'll do the cooking. I'll prepare all the meals for the kids, because I wanted to spend time with the food. So, I was working with children, and I'd clear off their plates when they didn't finish, things like that, as far as, the food was always more important than anything else, more important than the kids, anything I was doing, more important than my job, more important than school. I got married early on in my marriage. We decided to have a child right away, so I got pregnant. And I swear, when I got pregnant, I thought, wow, all bets are off. I can eat whatever I want. There's no shame in it. And I did. I ate a lot. I ate all those junk foods I mentioned before, plus, Big Macs every once in a while at McDonald's. I mean, that was my go-to food. When I was pregnant, it was all bets were off. I could eat whatever I wanted. So I was, eating for two. After having my daughter, same thing like at the daycare. I'd clear up her plate when she wasn't finished. I'd eat all the Halloween candy she got. I'd start off with, I'm just going to have three of my favorite pieces. And then it turned out to be, in my head, I was justifying, well, I'm going to have three of each kind of my favorite pieces. And then it was, I'm going to have three of my favorite chocolate and three of my favorite, non-chocolate pieces. And before you know it, I'm, 21 pieces into the her Halloween candy and nearly eating all of it. So things like that going on. Also early on in my marriage, a lot of my friends started getting married, having babies, things. So I was standing up in weddings and I had to crash diet a lot. I had to crash diet. I had to get into those dresses, So I tried the cabbage soup diet. I tried the hard-boiled egg diet. When all you eat is hard-boiled eggs all day, and then there was one with bananas, and you just eat bananas all day. I mean, I tried all of that. And I will say, they worked for a time, and then they didn't. But yeah, I tried all that stuff. I started having marital problems in 1997, and the counselor had suggested that I go to Al-Anon. So I went to my first Al-Anon meeting and was in Al-Anon for about 9 years when a sponsee of mine had mentioned OA. And I said, "What's OA?" And she said, "Overeaters Anonymous. It's like a 12-step program, but it deals with food." And this flag, a light bulb went on in my head. I'm like, "Oh boy, I think I need that one," because my weight was up and down, always. So I went to my very first OA meeting. And actually, it was 2006, May of 2006, my first OA meeting. So coming up on my anniversary here. But yeah, when I went in, I knew exactly what I needed to do because I came from Al-Anon. Get a sponsor, work the steps, and in this case, get a food plan. So I did that. I worked the steps in the OA 12 and 12 with my sponsor. I picked a sponsor right away. I used the Dignity of Choice, 3 meals a day, nothing in between, 1 day at a time, 301 plan. And I did that. And when I came into OA, I was about 186 pounds. And I started, slowly losing weight. I got down to about 150 pounds. And I thought, okay, this is good. I'm feeling much better, feeling good about myself. I was eating that 301 plan for, a few years, I would say, maintaining that 150. And then, what started happening? Those meals started getting a little bigger. A little bigger and a little bigger because I wasn't weighing and measuring. It didn't talk about weighing and measuring in the Dignity of Choice. No one in my meeting was talking about weighing and measuring, so I wasn't weighing and measuring. But my meals were getting a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. I ended up going to a Region 5 OA convention here in Chicago, and there was a group of people that had darted off into this one room after the speaker meeting. And when I went in there, they were talking about the Big Book, and I was always intrigued by the Big Book. I never had heard. I really wasn't studying it. I wasn't going to meetings that used the Big Book, but was really intrigued by it. So I went to that meeting, and there was a speaker that read and talked about the doctor's opinion in as it related to food. And I can tell you, I identified. I mean, my mouth was open the whole time. Like I could not believe that, that was my story. I so identified in. And as I was leaving that meeting, they were handing out these little business cards for a phone meeting called the coffee shop. And so I took one of those cards and I started dialing into that phone meeting, and I was faithful listener of that meeting and studying that big book. I decided, a few years later that I was going to get a big book sponsor. I wanted to do the steps in the big book. So I got what you call a big book bumper. And oh boy, she, had told me I couldn't drink coffee in the morning. I couldn't chew gum, all these things. It was very restrictive. And I was like, wow. Funny thing is, some of those things I do today, but at that time I was like, well, she's really tough. This is hard. But I did get to a healthy body weight. I lost a little bit more even than I had before. And I was back to that healthy body weight that I was back in high school, feeling great. I was around 130 pounds, and I was, feeling really good. And I was doing the steps with her, and she kept putting me back at step one for things. She was just, like I said, really quite strict. And so, at one point, I had done my fourth step. I had written out my fourth step, and I was ready to do my fifth step, and I was so excited. And she put me back at step one for a piece of cheese or something like that. And I was like, "Are you kidding me?" I was so pissed, and I thought, "You know what? Screw this. I'm skinny. I don't need you. I got this. I don't need you." So I stopped working with her. I just was like, no, she doesn't get it. I'm already, I've already arrived. So I stopped working with her. And at that same time, that phone meeting I was going to was splitting up, and they were, going to two different meetings. And I was like, heartbroken about that. And I thought, well, I quit her. The phone meeting, breaking up. So I quit the phone meeting, and then I decided, I got this job. The job was more important than meetings. I stopped going to my meetings and stopped going to OA. I basically quit OA. And I was skinny, so I thought I could do this, by myself. I got this. Well, you all know the story. That was in 2012. And in 20, and when I left, I remember I was around 130 pounds. Fast forward to 2015. I was gone for 3 years. I got up to 238 pounds and the heaviest I've ever been in my entire life. And I was miserable. And a lot of my home group, they were texting me, Denise, come back, come back. We miss you, we love you. And I said, I can't come back. I'm too ashamed. I walked around those meetings with a big book on my hip thinking I knew everything. How can I go back now? 200 and nearly 250 pounds heavy and walk in there. I was so ashamed. And they just kept texting me, we love you anyway. It doesn't matter. We love you unconditionally. Come back. We're with you. We're the same, I finally got the courage to go. And I got to tell you, the fellows that I wanted to go on a diet before I came back because I had to lose weight. And I couldn't even diet, you guys. I couldn't diet. I couldn't lose anything. So I ended up going back. And I wish I could tell you in 2015, I was struck abstinent. I wish I could, but I wasn't. It took me about 7 more years of trying to do it my way. I think the key was I was lazy. I knew what I needed to do the steps, and I just was too lazy to do them. I wanted to do it my way. I wanted to do 1, 2, 3 my way. I was doing the 1, 2, 3 waltz, right? The 1, 2, 3 dance. And I just kept trying to do it my way. There was a fellow in that meeting that actually called me, one time about crying over like almonds. She weighed and measured her food, and I thought to myself, I am never going to weigh and measure my food. She's crying over an almond. This is crazy. That's obsession, So I was very judgmental. What ended up happening was I ended up going back to listening to the vision meeting, and I heard this woman that was speaking about the almond on the vision meeting, I would say probably 2 or 3 years later, and she sounded fantastic. I was like, oh my gosh, is that her? I texted her, I said, is that you that you just share on the phone meeting? And she said, yeah, that's me. I said, what are you doing? And she told me she was going to this big book workshop. I wish I could say at that point that I went ahead and got abstinent, but I didn't. She told me about it, but I didn't go. However, I did start listening to the phone meetings regularly again, and I put myself out there as a newcomer one day. It was in February of 2021. And when I put myself out there as a newcomer, I got a ton of calls from people, and so overwhelming that I couldn't call them all back, but I saved their name and numbers in my phone. I wish I could say at that point that I was struck abstinent and started working the steps with a sponsor, but I didn't. It was about 6 months later, so that was in February of 2021. It was about 6 months later, I was sitting at a pool and it was a really hot summer day and I wanted to get up and go in the water. And I couldn't get out of the chair. I really couldn't. It was embarrassing. I've been single, I've been divorced for a while now, many years, and I was single and there were all these cute guys, over by the pool. And I just like, I am so ashamed of who I am and what I look like. Couldn't get out of a chair, didn't want to walk in front of people, and I just cried out to God. And I said, God, if this is my life, if this is really what it is, this is what I'm, living with, just take me now. Just take me. Just kill me. I want to go. I don't want to stay on this earth. Just take me. And I eventually got myself out of the chair, went in the water, came back, picked up my phone, and on my phone was a text from one of those people that I had saved their name and numbers years, months before. I saved their name and numbers in my phone. And here she was. She said, hey, you put your number out there on the phone meeting back in February, and I was just wondering how you're doing. Now, if she had called me, I would not have picked up the phone, but she sent me a text. Now, a text I can work with. And I said, I'm not doing very well. I can't get a few days under my belt. And she said, here, try these links to these meetings. And I've never talked to this woman before. I only saved her name and number from when she had done that outreach back in February. I clicked on, that was a Saturday and I was at the pool. That was God. You know, that was God. I cried out to God, and then that text was God talking back to me through this woman who I did not know. And I went ahead and I clicked on the links. She sent me Cherry Hill, Sunday morning Cherry Hill. She sent me Recovery Gym Monday, Thursday. She sent me Cornwall Saturday. She sent me a bunch of links at the meeting. You know, good, healthy meeting. So I went ahead and I clicked on that Sunday meeting. I had to leave early. I had to go to church, so I didn't get to stay for the newcomer. I clicked on the link the next day, and I don't know where the willingness came from to click on the links. I really don't. But I was in a state of desperation. I wish I could say I had like a great binge before I hit my bottom. I didn't. I think I was trying to eat healthy. I think that I was trying to control my food, right? But this was a life bottom. This moment at the pool was a life bottom. I wanted to die. I wanted to kill myself, right? I didn't want to live anymore. So it was a life bottom. And that's, I think, where that willingness came from, that desperation. So I did the Sunday meeting, and then I clicked on the Monday meeting, and that's when I met my sponsor. And she just said, you know, hi, my name is, here's my number, call me. And again, no idea where the willingness came from, but I called her. When I called her, she told me about this hospitalization period that, you know, I would be entering in, and she told me I had to weigh and measure my food. I didn't even own a scale. I mean, I had to go buy a food scale. And that's willingness, you know, because I never thought I would weigh and measure. That was willingness. And I bought the scale. I did the hospitalization period. She told me 30 minutes per meditation. She told me so many meetings per week, you know, try to meet a meeting a day. She told me call three people every day, recovered fellows. And I was like, oh boy, that was going to be hard because I really didn't want to talk to people. But that's what she said I had to do. And I was willing. You know, find ways to be self-sacrificing, you know, healthy body movement, you know, things like that. And I said, okay, fine. She said, now you're not going to be eating out and going out to dinners and all these things during hospitalization. You're in the hospital. We're weighing and measuring our food. We're eating at home as much as possible. And I thought, okay. So I, you know, sat my daughter down. She's an adult, you know, she's 28. I sat her down. I said, you know, I'm going to not go out. I'm really going to. She's like, Mom, we've been doing this for years. What makes you think, you know, that this is going to be it? I said, you know what? I want to give it a try. I'm working with a new sponsor. I really want to, you know, get healthy and live my life. I want my life. I want to live. And so I did. And those calls, as much as I hated them, I will tell you, they are life-saving. They are to me today, to this day. When I was going into around the second or third step with my sponsor, I had to go on a family vacation that was pre-planned, and I didn't bring measuring spoons. I didn't bring any measuring cups. We talked about eating out. It was a hotel that didn't have, like, I didn't have a kitchen in my hotel. It was, you know, basically eating out. And she said, you know, just check the menu out, commit what you're going to eat, you know. So I did that every day religiously. I didn't bring measuring spoons or cups. And she told me at one point, why didn't you bring your measuring spoons? You know, you need to measure your table, your dressing and stuff. So she said, go buy some. And I said, I would. Well, vacation got a little busy. It was more important to go to the pool. It was more important to do the family function, whatever it was. I didn't go. I didn't go buy the measuring spoons. I had three sets at home. I just didn't go. I didn't think it was that important. When I came home and I was talking to another fellow on the phone, they said, you know, you got to get honest and tell her you didn't go. So this was right around step two, three. So I told her, I called my sponsor. I said, you know, I didn't go by measuring spoons. I was just, you know, using the tablespoon on the table. And she said, you know, maybe you're not sponsorable. Maybe you're not willing to go to every race, you know. Why don't you sleep on it and then call me in the morning, she said. And I was devastated. I finally decided to work these steps after all these years. I finally decided to buy a food scale and commit to this hospitalization and work this out. And here she was going to, I was going to, you know, get dropped because I, you know, this moment of, you know, dishonesty. And I cried, and I'm not a crier. And I ended up calling her the next day and said, you know, I didn't even call her the next day because she called me that night because she knew I was crying. And I just said to her, I'm never going to get it. I'm just never going to get it. This isn't worth it. I'm never going to get it. And she said to me, this isn't something you're going to get. this is something God is going to remove from you. I'm getting emotional thinking about it because I always thought I had to do it. I always thought it was me doing it, but it was God's going to remove it from me. And I got to tell you, when I went to work all the time, when I was early on in step work, right, there would be donuts and candy and all sorts of crap around. And I remember my sponsor saying to me one time, Denise, you know, or there was a podcast. She had a podcast, and she would, like, talk back to the disease and say, like, be gone and kind of, you know, talk back to the food. And so I started doing that because I was white-knuckling it at first. You know, it was hard to put down the food in the beginning. But I remember looking at those donuts and saying, be gone, I'm not having you. And as I got closer to step two and three, and that was all around that time, I started saying, God's protecting me. God's, you know, I'm like, I'm not having you donuts because I'm on God's team now. God's got my back. You can just screw off, you know. And I was kind of talking back to the food like that. And it eventually got to the point where it didn't even bother me anymore. You know, my daughter would eat M&Ms and croissants and all sorts of stuff that I don't eat anymore. She would eat that in front of me, and I was like, you know, good for you. I saw my food. You know, like, it didn't even. So God did really transform my mind, my heart, my soul, to the point where, you know, it was removed from me. So there was one thing I wanted to share with you too. When I did these mirror meditations, and I call them mirror meditations because I was not happy with the scale. Every time I got on the body scale, like if I lost weight, I thought I could reward myself and eat more. If I gained weight, I thought I'm never going to do this. I'm not good enough. I suck. And just, I should just throw in the towel. So I really didn't like the scale. My sponsor had me weighing in every 2 weeks to see if my food plan was really working for me, you know? So on those scale days, I really had to surrender. So I would get in front of the mirror and I would look at my body and say, God, I don't like this body. I don't like these legs. You know, I'm short, I'm stocky, you know, my carry my weight in my bottom half. Said, you know, God, I really don't like these legs. If these little legs you want me to have today, fine, I'll have them. Now the scale, God, the scale is not my friend. I just don't do well with the scale, but you decide what you want my weight to be. If you, you know, whatever you decide, you know, I'll deal with it. I probably won't be happy with it, but I'll deal with it. So I get on the scale and whatever it was God's decision. It wasn't mine. And I just knew God was going to, you know, help me along this way, you know, whether I needed to change the food plan, increase, decrease, whatever, God was going to guide me. So I surrendered the food scale, the food scale, the weight scale, you know, surrender to God. About, I would say, a few months after I finished my 12th step with my sponsor, I started sponsoring. I was going to the store. I was running in to get something and running back out. And when I ran in, there was someone out of the corner of my eye getting out of a van that had like a wheelchair, like a handicap van. And I ran in, got my stuff, ran back out. And on my way back out, they had still not made it into the store yet. Like they were still, you know, getting down from, you know, the van and like kneeling their way in. And it stopped me in my tracks right in the middle of the parking lot. And I looked up at the sky and I said, God, I am so sorry. I said I hated my legs and I hate my body. I'm sorry I said that. I am grateful for these legs. I am grateful that you allow me to walk, that I can, you know, walk. And then that made me think of my eyesight, like all these things I just became, you know, grateful for. And that's the transformation where God like transformed me from being, you know, self-centered, self, you know, looking at everything, you know, judgmental, to this person now who's like grateful for those, for the basic things in life that I have that I don't even, you know, realize I'm really, you know, blessed to have. So that's the transformation I'm talking about. There's a mantra that my Al-Anon sponsor gave me years ago, and it goes like this, you know, God, show me where you are working and I will join you. Show me where you are working and I will join you. And I like to say this during my prayer meditation because it reminds me of the fact that, you know, working with others, when my sponsor told me, that was the first page, you know, in the big book she had me read when I first started working with her, you know, intensive work with other alcoholics, you know, that's where I can have immunity, right? Immunity from compulsive overeating. And I'll never forget that. And so working with others is so important. And that's why I asked God to show me where you are working and I will join you. My sponsor also had me do these random acts of kindness, be self-sacrificing. I had to practice that. I started practicing that with I'm always like running late, always, rushing to work and driving like a crazy person. And I had to start letting buses and people merge in front of me during construction lanes and things. And I started just being self-sacrificing, like, okay, God, this is what you need me to do. I'm going to do it. Be patient with me, so be patient. And I'm not very patient, right? Or let the people at the grocery store go in front of me in the line, or even when I'm darting to go out this door with my cart, letting people go first, trying to be a little bit more self-sacrificing. These are things I have to practice, and I still do to this day. But I'm so grateful that she taught me that and that she had me, do that. As
Oh,
far as,
yeah.
oh, 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, Amanda. The calls, those fellowship calls, those 3 calls a day. A day does not go by where I am not doing them. I am, I put them in my nightly review every night too. Who I spoke with, what we talked about, what step. It's really important to be connected, because I think God speaks through other people, and that's when I really, my recovery is dependent on God and dependent on, doing God's work and speaking with others. Those fellowship calls are so important. But first of all, they helped me get through my step work, and I now need to help other people get through their step work, doing the big book and, sharing my experience, strength, and hope. I think that's really important. So today I'm grateful that my prayer and meditation, my sponsor, when she tells me, hey, Denise, when I tell her I'm feeling disconnected, it's not, I'm not feeling so good. And she'll, say, well, what's going on, right? Sometimes it's, I need to change it up, stagnant. I need to do a letter to God. Sometimes I need to do two-way prayer. Sometimes I need to do spiritual reading, even if it's a chapter in the big book, or AA 12 and 12, or OA 12 and 12. I need to change it up. I need to stay connected to God. And this morning I wrote a gratitude, letter to God, just grateful for how God is using me today, and how grateful I am that I have purpose in my life. I didn't have purpose before. I can tell you I didn't. Now I do, and I feel God's, blessings all around me every day. I want to end with a little parable that I heard, and then I want to show some photos, if that's okay. So this parable is a snake and a firefly flying around in the jungle, okay? And the firefly says to the snake, am I part of your food chain? And the snake says, no. And the firefly says, so then why are you always trying to eat? And the snake says, because I'm sick of you shining your light around everywhere out there in the jungle. And the truth of the matter is, when I heard that parable, I thought of the disease. The disease wants me in isolation, wants me in the darkness, wants me, not living my life, right? But God wants me to have purpose. God wants me to shine my light. God wants me out there serving and living and loving myself and others. So that's what I just remember that, often I think about that. Like, I was sitting on the couch, binging food, Netflix, whatever you want, watching TV, angry person. And today, I do watch some TV, I will say. I do watch Netflix, but I'm just a different person today. Today I'm happy, joyous, and free. I'm in service to God and to others. And that's given me that purpose that, you can have your M&Ms, you can have your whatever you want. That's not for me. I have a much better life today that God has put in front of me, and he's got a great one planned, and I'm just going to keep going one foot in front of the other and doing it one day at a time. And with that, I will pass, and I will start sharing my photos. I like to share photos. I think it's really cool, and I like to share them at the end, because I it just tells my story a little bit better. So if you guys can see them, can you see them? Yeah, okay, good. Okay, so This is me, just right out of high school, living that normal body weight. And then after I don't have a lot of pictures in between, but I will say this is when I, after I had my daughter, the up and the down, here I am, a little bit heavier. I think this is around the time I have entered OA. And then going a little slow. There we go. In OA at this point and starting to lose some weight and feeling good. You can see in these pictures, this is around when I was working the OA 12 and 12 and, going to meetings and stuff. And then and this was around too when I started working with that big book thumper. I don't know if you remember my story. I was working with that big book thumper and I even got, this is probably when I was around 150 or so. And then I got down to here where I got to that 130. Right here, this picture with the purse. Guys, that's when I had arrived, okay? There's my skinny body when I had arrived and thought, I got this, I can do this myself. If you look over at this picture, you can see a little bit of a difference. There I am starting to put a little bit of weight on because this picture, I'm not in OA. This was around maybe April. Yeah, April 7th. There you go. This was around April and this is July. Here I am already just a couple months and I'm starting to put a little bit on there. Okay, here we are now, a little bit more. And now here I am hiding behind people in photos, right? Sound familiar? Yep, there's me hiding behind people because I'm starting to feel a little self-conscious about that. And I'm back up here, definitely not my I had arrived body. Yeah. So here I am, 2020. Yeah, that 238, between 238, 250. I stopped weighing myself, guys. It was just too hard to weigh myself, but there I am, back up there, up at the scale. I did some side by sides here. This is obviously after I had worked the steps and started sponsoring, the ones on the right. This is, before working with my sponsor and then after working with my sponsor, a few side by side, my daughter, here, before and then after. And then this was actually the OA convention, not this year, but the one last year, where I got to meet my sponsor and some fellows for the first time. It's in a normal, healthy body weight, back there. So yeah, those are the photos. And I think it's important to share photos because then that gives, everybody some hope maybe that if you're feeling that way, that you can get there too, up and down the scale we go. But I've been maintaining this weight now since July 17th of 2021, and I'm grateful for it. So, that on the past. Thanks so much.
Oh, Denise, thanks, Amelia. And I'm just going to actually read a little excerpt out of the big book for your story, page 541, a late start. For each step, I still had to go through the process of recognizing that I had no control over my drinking or my eating. I had to understand the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous had helped others and could help me. I had to realize that if I did want sobriety, I had better do the steps, whether I liked them or not. Every time I ran into trouble, I ultimately found that I was resisting change. My mentor had to remind me that AA is not just a project. AA offers me OA, an opportunity to improve the quality of my life. I came to recognize that there is always a deeper and wider experience awaiting me.